I just got a few things I want to say as we get started, and then College President Mr. Martin and resident Dr. Weinberg, they're actually going to get into the nitty-gritty and tell you the goods of the details. For that matter, some much more eloquent, and if you like reading rather than listening, which is maybe only me left in the world that prefers reading over listening. Everybody else wants to listen. They want a video. But if you actually really like reading, I definitely recommend that you go to comfort.org, and there's a page that's called the preamble, and then there's a page that's called the manifesto. And Jim actually wrote the preamble. Philip wrote the manifesto. And even some of the things I say right here at the beginning are more eloquently and detailed put into the manifesto that Philip wrote. And again, definitely encourage you to go check that out. But, you know, we're actually trying to build and battle. And this is one of the things. This is not the only thing. It is a thing. And you got to try something, right? So lots of people think that it is silly. It is a waste of time. And I absolutely don't think that. And so I obviously can be wrong. But I think there's really great opportunities here for our young people to be better image bearers, and for some of them potentially to help us really continue to improve the educational opportunities at ECS, even if they come back as teachers, or even if they are just raising the expectations of what ECS should be offering. That's also good. Let alone then, for sake of having the kind of confidence as witnesses of Christ and living for Christ to his Lord in our city, working at our businesses, running for political office if the Lord calls them to do that. Like, I think I'd still say that we are in really early stages and need more equipping. We actually need to learn some more things to be better blessings. So I'd already planned to use this illustration before I knew that a potential city council member was going to be here. But the only thing I like less than traffic are traffic circles. So I'm not going to try to apply any pressure to any city council people who are currently in attendance. But the traffic circles, they, like, I don't think classically educated people would use them, is my point. No, I actually, that's just one of my favorite complaints, but traffic is a thing that I actually have always had a hard time with. So have you ever been driving on I-5? I remember, especially when I moved to Los Angeles, this was a, you know, daily occurrence, but even for us, driving along I-5, have you ever been in a major slowdown and you've seen on your Maps app that a mile or so it's supposed to clear? So, it, you know, it's orange and then it's red, and but then it's green ahead. And maybe it even says on the side, you know, that there was an accident. And so you, the traffic is going so slow, and it's taking you so long to get through that last mile or so. And then you're assuming that probably there must be, you know, 5 ambulances and however many tow trucks, because this traffic is so horrific. Clearly the accident, probably, you know, multiple fatalities. That's how bad the traffic is making it seem to be. And so then you finally, you creep up, you get to the spot where it's supposed to be an accident. The traffic does start going 70 again, and you look around and there's nothing. There's no signs that there was an accident. Your app told you that there was, and that's why there was a slowdown. The lanes open up. You're picking up speed. No visible problem. Why is there still so much traffic? Why did you have to sit there? Well, there probably actually had been an earlier accident. And this is a phenomenon where there are lagging consequences of a previous action. So, non-technically, I remember reading an article in a magazine about traffic on the 405 in Los Angeles. And non-technically, it talked about it like a spring that then takes a while to get all the way back uncoiled. But there is even a technical term for it. It's hysteresis. And hysteresis applies across multiple domains. Traffic is just an example of hysteresis. It's a term used in physics, engineering, economics, and even psychology to describe a phenomenon where the effect of a force or input on a system depends not only on the current value of the input, but also on the history of past inputs. In other words, a system exhibits hysteresis when its response lags behind the changes in the influencing factors. So with the traffic accident, they got it all cleared. The current input is that there's nothing blocking the lanes. There's not any lighted vehicles telling you to slow down. The current inputs say full speed ahead, but there is lagging consequences of a previous input that are making it still slow, though everything is cleared. Hysteresis explains various phenomena in economics, why you can get a tariff or get a tariff removed and it still takes a while for you to see the effects of it. Hysteresis affects magnetism and even emotional responses. So everything in the moment could actually be a positive input, but there could have been a previous input with lagging consequences that are still messing up the current good thing. There have been three major overlapping accidents that have caused quite a stop. The accidents, in most cases, happened a while ago, but we haven't really even swept up all the broken taillight pieces. In fact, there's maybe even some little puddles of oil and gas on the road that any one of them might still catch fire when it comes to education. First accident. Education crashed because people thought God was unnecessary for it. You can do all of it, and you don't need God. And that has crashed. A second crash. Education crashed because God's people thought education was unnecessary. Because what you actually just need to do is make enough money to pay your bills and pay the pastor. Education beyond that is too much. And I get that among us right now, that's not the input that we're getting. But that is the input that was being given to most of us in the past. And there are still lagging consequences from that accident. And then even more recently, education crashed because in 2020, almost everyone thought the whole education system itself was unnecessary. Oh, we can just graduate people and not do anything? Well, that clearly means education as a system is unnecessary. So those aren't going to be my talking points. They just describe our current unfavorable conditions. We potentially are staring down the barrel of a fourth crash, at least according to some, where AI takes over all our jobs. AI does our thinking for us until the point at which AI decides that humans are unnecessary. That's the really doomer take on where AI is headed, but it is messing even with education. This is why education starts with worshiping the Lord. You have to have God for education to matter. It's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's why it's so crucial that we refer to mankind as Imago Dei rather than just Homo sapiens. We're not just thinking machine meat sacks. We are imagers of the God who made us. Christ is Lord, ergo cogito. Christ is Lord, therefore I think. Not I think, therefore I am. Christ is Lord, therefore I think. So, on one hand, it's hard to believe that we need to keep making the case that education is good. But the crashes that have happened with the lagging consequences continue to make it need to be the case that that we want to argue that education is good, and that good education is even gooder, and that good education has high expectations and requires high effort and results in high blessings. So we got to keep making that case, and for that matter, unfavorable conditions hardly ever come. So we're all right. So all are yours, and you are Christ's. So Christ remains the one to whom we must give account. And so who knows how much lag there's going to be from some of those crashes, but why don't we get our foot over the gas pedal ready to go? And why don't we make sure that we remember why we got on the road in the first place? And then hopefully maybe the lanes will open up. I have three books on my desk at home, and I stack them up behind my laptop screen, so I have to see them in my periphery when I'm sitting at my desk at home. Everett and Snohomish County, A Pictorial History. Thank you, Abigail, for this gift, first year of comfort. Reflections of Marysville, A Pictorial History, thanks to Philip for my birthday, maybe two birthdays ago. And Cathedral, A Story of Its Construction, which is kind of a made-up story about the building of some cathedrals, kind of wrapped into one to show how almost always the people who had the idea for it and the original architect and the initial round of builders never got to see it completed, because that's how long it took. And so I keep these three books where I have to see them, because I want a better future. I want better things for my people down the road. And that includes offering a awesome opportunity to learn more and help others learn more. So AI can do a lot of things, and AI has never loved anything. AI has no wants. AI has no loves. They can't be ordered loves. We, as image bearers, we have gifts that God has given us that are worth dying for. And we actually have a God that is worth living for and learning for. We have a God that is worth learning and learning for. And so we're just trying to make that as maximally awesome as we can, so that if Jesus doesn't come back for another 100 years, when they make the next pictorial history of Marysville and Snohomish County, they'll actually have to include some other things about what God's people did, what God's people learned, and what God's people did for sake of blessing this place. So Comfort College is one of those pieces, and we have continued to try to make a variety of classes and offerings and opportunities, and we've got a new step as we try to make progress in doing that, and so that's going to begin even this fall. So Jim and Grant are actually going to take over from this point.
I like your analogy of hysteresis. I don't know if it's hysteresis or if it's still the traffic jam ahead of us, but one of the things that's been challenging as we talk about Comfort College as kind of overcoming our own internal resistance, our ability to believe that something like a college here is possible. We still get a lot of people scratching their heads saying, what on earth are you doing? It's kind of like you're just playing house. This isn't a real house. But and believe me, even the people who are investing in it the most, there are days, there are times where we're like, what are we doing? You know, who are we kidding? But I'm here tonight to tell you that there's been some great movement towards making Comfort College, quote unquote, a real college. The board has been working on this for some time, and we actually had met, I don't know, was it not even a year ago, we sat down with an accrediting agency, and we said, well, here's where we're at, here's what we're doing, where are we at? And they said, well, yeah, for you to really get serious about being accredited, you're going to have to run a program for 3 years at least with a number of students and have a sizable bank account to prove that you're viable. And they're watching out for the paper mills. They want to make sure you're not going to just start 1 year and be gone the next year. So we get that. But basically it was, you're not ready. You know, go away and come back in 3 years and we'll talk again. So that was a little bit discouraging. But then, I don't know what it was, a number of months ago, some of us were at a conference down south, and one of the speakers was Dr. John West from the Discovery Institute in Seattle, and he happened to mention to Sean that he'd heard about some organization that was trying to do something where they were trying to help bring college to faith institutions, if you will. They're trying to solve the problem of why do we have to keep sending our young people elsewhere to get their education. And that laid there for a few months, and then I tracked him down who he was talking about, and it turns out it was an organization called Christian Halls. And so I reached out to them and talked to them, and the more I talked, the more excited I got about what they have to offer. And so I brought it to the college board, and then we arranged a meeting. All of us sat there over Zoom and talking to Joey Willis, one of the reps. And we all got done to that call, and we looked at each other, and we said, why on earth would we not do this? There's so many good things about it. So Christian Halls, just so you can kind of get a feel, there's their mission statement and their vision. But in short, they're saying same thing what we felt. Why are we sending our young people elsewhere to get their education? Why can't we assist bringing the university to faith communities and then allow those faith communities to continue the discipleship process, the enculturation process, even as those young people are getting their education? And so they have gone ahead and over a number of years have developed a program, if you will, where they have identified and they have now partnered with a dozen different Christian universities, Southeastern University being one, Colorado Christian University being another, and 10 others. And they've all agreed to basically make their programs available through Christian Halls, where we can then bring it in-house to us. And so Comfort College, I just signed yesterday, I signed our operating license with Christian Halls. So Comfort College is now an official hall with Christian Halls. And so that means then that we will be able, as Sean mentioned, in the fall, and there's a few barriers that Grant will talk about in a minute, but we're fall or let's say fall-ish, we will actually be able to start up a Bachelor's of Arts program. Grant will fill you more in on those details. But the potential and the possibilities are just amazing. Between those 10 or 12 universities, if we had the horsepower in-house, we could offer up to 400 different degrees. We'll be doing a liberal arts program to start with, but then lots of things, business, computer science, nursing, on and on it can go. And so we're pretty excited about this, but we really liked their vision. Again, it was, we want to keep the young people in their communities with their faith communities. We want them to get their education, and then just to continue to do good things in that community, begin to see the multi-generational reproduction going on. Today, sadly, we send a lot of young people away to get their education, and they meet Mr. and Mrs. Wright or whatever else, and they're gone. And then a bunch of old people are left behind. So we're trying to kind of crack that nut and say, how can we get our people to stay here and keep making Marysville and beyond great again? So their model is Christian Halls, as I've already explained. They have established the relationship with the universities. And then the bigger box, and it's kind of hard to see, I put some back shadow on there, but it looks pretty light. Those last three green boxes next to Comfort College is where we come in play. We establish a hall, which we now are legally a hall. And then we also provide what's called tutors. And then, of course, you need students, too. That's kind of important for education. But here's the basic idea. So we identify a program with some given university, and we're probably going to be partnering with Southeastern University initially. And they will then, our students that enroll in the Comfort College Hall, they will also be enrolled actually at Southeastern University itself. They'll be on their roster, and they'll have available to them everything Southeastern University has to offer, as if they were on campus there. Financial aid and whatever other services, online libraries, everything. And so then they will take the classes, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about how they take the classes. But then they meet in the hall with a tutor, and that tutor's job is then to provide that enculturation piece, the extra bit about what makes us us, as they discuss the course material that they're going through. And when the students complete it, they have transferable college credits, just like they went to Southeastern University all by themselves. The educational model, they have three modes of learning, they call them. The first one is off the shelf. This is where the university provides the instructor by way of video. So a student enrolls, they then, over an 8-week term, there's 6 terms in the year, spread out into 3 semesters, winter, spring, 2 terms, 2 8-week terms per semester. Typically, a student will be doing 2 or 3 credit classes during a term 8 weeks. They will watch the talking head X number of times, absorb the material, read the books. The university will provide the assessments, the tests. Typically, it's going to be writing a 1,000-word paper, be like 3 of those in a term. The university will grade it, and then the student will either pass or fail. And if they pass, they have college credits. And so that model, the tutor is not doing any instruction. They are to be subject matter experts so that they can actually help the student if they're hung up on some point of the material that they're studying. But beyond that, to continue to provide that enculturation component that they're trying to do. Next mode is they have what they call the assessment. This is where the university hands to our tutor and says, here's a basic syllabus, here's the learning objectives, here's what the student needs to know, and then that tutor is free to instruct and to teach. But the university still provides the assessments, the tests, if you will, and they do the grading, and then again, pass or fail. And then the last mode is called the adjunct professor, and this is where we say, hey, we think we have a class that is college credit worthy. We submit our syllabus, that university evaluates it, and if they like it, they make our tutor, if you will, an adjunct professor. That one's a little harder to achieve because that adjunct professor has to have a master's or higher degree, and they have to have 18 credit hours in the particular course that they are teaching. Somebody like Grant is qualified to be able to pursue being an adjunct professor. speaking long-term vision for Comfort College, we envision a day perhaps where we're offering all of our classes by way as adjunct professors, and then we could go knocking on the accrediting agency's door again and say, we're running a legit program here that other universities have vetted our courses, and hopefully that'll let us then someday Comfort College to stand on its own as an accredited agency. This role of tutor that I mentioned, this is where you could potentially come into play. The tutor does not have to be a degreed person. They recognize that there are individuals who have in other ways have accomplished quite a bit of skill, expertise, knowledge in some subject matter. And so are you a history buff? You could be a history tutor for us. You know, do you enjoy philosophy or logic or English lit or any of those subjects? You could be a tutor. A tutor's commitment in one class over an 8-week term would typically be a commitment to meet with the students about 12 hours. And again, to provide that guidance, instruction, not the teaching, but the helping them if they're stuck. And then again, providing that enculturation component. So this is a great opportunity for more and more of us who have a lot of expertise to be able to help that process along and continue to just enculturate our own people. There's so many benefits to this program, it's just hard to list them all. Affordability with this program, just take Southeastern University as an example. You can get your bachelor's degree for a little over $10,000 a year, $40,000 for the total degree. Just as one example, kind of at the low end out there today, would be like a new St. Andrews, but even they are at like $18,000 a year right now. So this can be done in-house for $10,000, $11,000 a year. And Grant will talk more, but I'm really excited because not only at the college level, but we're able to bring this into the high school level. And we can actually have our high school students earning college credit as they're going through our program. Like Running Start, but with the benefit that our students don't have to go anywhere. And I'm not aware of any other high school, be it private or public, that can offer that. So I think that's a real advantage that we have. I'm trying to think of what else. There's no cost to Comfort College to participate. The students enroll in the university. They pay the university fees. At a college level, each credit hour, it's about $350, and that's how you get to the $10,000 per year, which again is quite cheap. Some people would say, well, why don't I just go and do that university's online program all by myself? One is you can actually do it cheaper through the hall than you can do it going straight to the university, and two, you do get the benefit of that mentor relationship with the tutor if you do it through the hall as well. So there's just really, it's nothing but win-win-win as we can see it. So we're pretty excited about that. And so we really do intend to, we're licensed and we've got the green light to go. So Grant's gonna come up here and he's gonna talk some more now about the actual program we're gonna try to launch. And our only hiccup at the moment is that classes are filling up. And so we have to identify those individuals that want to get on board and get them registered so they can start signing up for those classes. So Grant, why don't you come on up? And when he's done, then we'll go ahead and field any questions you guys may have about this.
Hello, thanks. So I can talk about the nuts and bolts of it, which I'm going to do. But first I want to start with a little story that I shared with my omnibus class the other day that they said was the nicest thing I ever said to them, which is kind of ironic because I wasn't trying to be nice. We were reading Calvin's Institutes at that time, and we were having some good debates on the sacraments, baptism, paedobaptism, and the Lord's Supper. And one day we got a little heated, and I'm like, I was just thinking to myself, this is not going the way I wanted it to go. This feels wrong. And then we had the campus cleanup day, and I was working with Mr. Sarr, and We were working on the fence over there, which I met Jonathan when I was 12 years old, and then I was in a small group when I was 15 and up. And I've done lots of projects with him, and we were doing another project and worked on the fence, and I looked over and I saw Ian doing something in the yard there, and I'm like, this is how it's supposed to be. Because I've literally grown up with Jonathan doing projects. And I look out and I see a guy that I grew up with who then became my brother-in-law. And I see his son gallivanting on the roof, cleaning the gutters, wherever Job's at. Cleaning the gutters, being a normal junior high boy, doing something that I would never do. But building that kind of community where people actually stick around. And I told my class a few days later, when I finally remembered to tell them the story, that I'm not looking to train them up for them to leave. I'm looking to train them up because I want them to be people that I raise my kids with. Because if we're not pregnant, but if we have a few more kids, and my senior class goes and gets married and start having kids, our kids will actually be in class together. We'll be parenting alongside each other. And I told them that I want to be worshiping with them for a very long time, which is why I'm arguing with them about theology, is because I actually care about what they think. I want them to stay here. A similar story that has the opposite turnout would be my brother and I. I actually did online college, and my brother went down to UW. And at the beginning of it, he stayed at TEC along with me. But then eventually he moved down to UW campus and started going to an international church down there. He's a very gifted linguist and wanted to go practice that and get in the culture. His church did preach the gospel, but at this point, with his change in beliefs, we probably could never go to the same church together. We vary enough now that it'd be very difficult. Which is really sad to me, because my brother is actually a really amazing man that I would like to be in our community, and he's not here. I mean, he's doing lots of good things on the other side of the world, in Japan right now. But yeah, it'd be really cool if he was here with me. And that's why, for me, why I want to build a college. I want to raise up kids, students that stay. And so we're looking to build something that's actually worth staying for. Comfort College has been part of that. And this new thing with Christian Halls, or CHI, for the abbreviation, is a tool that we can actually really leverage to build up our own experts. We can use them and abuse them for as long as we can practically. We may be forever, but I'm guessing eventually we'll get out from under them. And we're starting somewhere. We're starting here, so why not? And we're going to start with something that the board thinks is of first importance. So first off, the Bachelor of Arts. They have a lot of degrees. I've read through all of them multiple times, not like each class, but I've read through their offerings. And the one I keep coming back to is actually the Humanities Great Books of English. Because it's actually most like what we were trying to offer at Comfort anyway, and it fits in really well, and there aren't too many classes that actually feel really wasted. This is what 4 years looks like, and yeah, there's a lot of classes in there. And yeah, we became a hall officially last night at around 9 p.m., and I got access to everything that a hall director would have access to, and found out that everything for fall quarter that I want to offer is currently full, which is why they actually make the June 1st deadline, which we met. But they make that deadline because classes fill up. So more than likely, it'll end up where I'm staying up till midnight one night when the night the classes go live, and getting us in the class that we want at midnight when they come open. Going forward, but that didn't happen this year because we weren't part of it. So I'll probably have to piecemeal the first quarter somewhere. Like on this list, there's mathematics 1 and 2. I'm hoping that they'll let me plug in college algebra there and make it work out. But this is small. I see lots of people reading. but yeah, so it has lots of basic Bible. So looking at year one, Western Theological Tradition 1, which is a really run-of-the-mill Bible class, which will be great. Intro to Philosophical Thought. Basically, how to think about philosophy. I'm sorry, I enjoy it. Grammar, Logic, Rhetoric 1. It really is what it sounds like, talking about grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and how that applies to college. And if you look, there's two of them in that first year, quarter one, quarter two. Sacred Scripture, Old Testament, and then Philosophy of History. So it is a pretty standard general liberal arts degree, even though they don't call it that. And their general their general education degree was actually had a lot of filler classes that did not sound appealing to anyone to want to take, which is why I didn't select that one. But by year three and four, we're getting into a lot of the great books, which the more time I spend teaching the great books, the more I feel like people just need to read them more often. thinking through raising up young men, there are a couple different things that I think all young men need to do, one of which would be digging a ditch in August, working in commission sales, and then raising an animal from a baby for food. Those three things tend to teach young men very particular things they can't get anywhere else. The great books are another way of doing that as well. It just really builds character. It teaches you the main six great ideas. Truth, goodness, and beauty, liberty, equality, and justice, and how those things have changed throughout history. Because that is actually building up a good citizen. It's building up a good worshiper. It really does help you see the world as a whole. So getting into the great books at the end, I find is just really important. If you look at this list as well, you will see lots of books or lots of classes that overlap really well with ECS. And that's where the dual credit comes in. As we take these classes and learn about them, one of my goals and jobs, is to find which ones plug in with which ECS class so that we can offer them at the assessment level. So going back to this one, off the shelf, we are going to start at Comfort doing off the shelf classes. I don't have a vote, but if I had a vote on the board, it would be to never offer an off the shelf class at ECS. My goal is to make the assessment ones available for ECS, because I love what we're doing at ECS and I want to get more of that. I don't want to ruin our ECS culture just for college classes, for college credit. So doing the assessment level would be the minimum that I would be excited about doing at ECS, which as I look through more and more syllabi, they fit in really well. And so we should be able to actually get some college credits down into 11th, 12th grade, maybe even sophomore year. The college algebra actually fits in really well with our Algebra 2 class, as I'm looking at that. so we should be able to get down there. And dual credits is actually stupid cheap. So it's $100 a credit, which I actually did dual credits in Spanish 2 at Grace Academy under Jonathan Saar, which allowed me not to take another college language class the rest of my college career, which I am hugely thankful for, because I would have totally failed at those. I got 10 college credits in junior year of high school, whatever, I think it was junior year, and I was in Spanish too. So doing those kinds of things throughout ECS, seeing where they fit in and how we can do it, and also looking at the level of education that they're offering at SEU, which is the main school we'll be doing it through, and how their standards match up with ECS standards, and looking at what level of students can realistically take college credit. you can do like one class for a sophomore, for a freshman. I think it's two for sophomores. I think it's four or five. No, it's three or four for a junior, and then five for a senior. So five classes would be 15 credits, so you could actually get a whole year of college, your sophomore year, or senior year of college, your senior year of high school, which would be a big deal. So we could actually get a year or two done of college at ECS, which would be a good hope. And then that would transfer right into our bachelor's program. So being able to graduate 20-year-olds with a bachelor's is a nice thing. The other nice thing about CHI is that then we can then use it them for master's and doctorate degrees as well, using the off-the-shelf and assessment level, so we don't have to have the credentials, but we could actually build up our own credentialed peoples. So we could be training our own doctors, our own masters, to then come back and fill up the ranks in Comfort and also the jobs around. So as we get good at this program, they have a nursing program that we could actually train up our own nurses to work for Jubal's Clinic. They have law degrees. We could train up our own lawyers. They have actually a whole host of trade classes. So HVAC, plumbing, electrical are the only ones I'm remembering, but there was nine of them that we can then train up our own tradesmen right here. So there's lots of different things we can use here. But as Jim was saying, we will need tutors in those things. I do not know how to run electrical cable. I can read books. I don't want to really have to go figure out how to do electrical. So like Jeremiah, who's not here, he could totally be a tutor. Actually, by the time we get this going, Laird could actually come be a tutor for us because he's learning electrical now. So you don't need credentials for it. You just need to know how to do it. So there is a lot of power that we can leverage off of them, which is the exciting part. So looking at this year, year one is the dream that is not going to happen for this school year. But probably the second half of those classes we can probably offer spring quarter, which is reasonable. So probably the first semester, fall semester, we'll probably offer a class or two. And depending on who's interested in taking them, will depend upon what we select. It will fit in here, so it's just going to take, so college algebra is one that's still open that I saw, but I looked for about 2 hours looking for classes. College algebra I know is one that would fit in this degree that we could offer. And then everything else is currently full, which is kind of a bummer because I had a whole spiel on what we're going to offer in fall, and it's now moot. So there's that. Depending on who is interested in actually doing the fall, depends on what class that we select. Otherwise, philosophy of man, sacred scripture, Old Testament, grammar, logic, rhetoric, one probably, and then philosophy of history would be what's up for spring quarter. They go by quarters even though there's only three of them. Jim mentioned a little bit about price. At this point, are there any questions that I can answer or whatever? Yes. There is one.
Repeat the question.
He sees the sacred scripture, Old Testament, which is basically an Old Testament survey, and he's correct. He doesn't see a New Testament sacred scripture. There is one. I wrote this list. I know it's there. I just may not have actually transferred over into this list, but it is part of the degree. So it is both of them. And yeah, I don't see it on there. It's supposed to be. It does do Old and New Testament, okay. Like it should. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So the three modes, is it going to be a hybrid, a mix of that to start off?
So starting off, we're going to do off the shelf. Just to see what's actually there. Once we see what they're offering, so not every course is based, can be assessment currently. The way it works is once they have someone asking for it, they make it. And it's about a 6-month leg. So as we start working through it and saying, hey, we want this class for next semester, they'll say, great, we'll start working on that. So they're kind of a build with it, which is why we're picking SEU. is because they're the ones who actually want to work with us that way. No other college out there is going to do that. Most every other of the 11 just does off the shelf. SEU is great with doing assessment and building it out, and they're also great with doing adjunct professors. But it is a build as you go. So as we request more things, they'll allow us to do it.
It's worth mentioning too that of those three modes, you can use all modes at the same time. So you can you can just piecemeal together what works for you.
Yeah.
Starting to piece this together. So it's off the shelf. You talked about those classes are full. That means that they've already got people who are signed up, and there's no more spots available. But if we got to the point where we had an adjunct professor, it would be here, and would just be we'd be filled with the spots.
Off the shelf and assessment. The classes can fill up, and there's like six of each class. And they, when people sign up for the college, like a normal college, and they are registering in January, December, they then do their hiring at that point to figure out how many. We're starting in June, and so they were not prepared for us.
And if we do assessment, then and if we have 10 students in-house, then we don't have to worry about signing because it's our class, but it's also we're doing the teaching.
So. Yeah. What was that, Philip?
I was just asking Jim to get the mic. So this is great. I'm excited to see this go forward. Are there any opportunities for old geezers like us who have already got our degrees and everything to like audit some of these? Take these courses, take these classes, be online with the video, but not have to go through and get accredited for it? Anything like that available?
Not that I'm aware of. There are fees involved of being a student and whatnot. So in order to get access to their videos, you're going to have to pay as a student, from what I can tell.
I know in other colleges, there's a fee, obviously, but not an exorbitant fee because you're not getting credit.
I would imagine when we get to the assessment level, I don't know that they would care if we're teaching it. I don't know they would care if we had an auditor, because they're not going to be enrolled in that college. They're not going to get credit. But yeah, like you said, they probably don't want to make their video content available to non-paying customers. So
yeah, that's a good point. We can do whatever we want in our classroom. And I totally forgot to mention, we are still offering pedagogy prep next year and lordship class. Both Jonathan and Sean are excited about that. And they don't have syllabi out yet. Depending on who wants to do it, they will tweak it to fit the people. So if the same people want to do it again, well, Jonathan's going to do a whole different set of books next year. If it's all new people, he might do the same books next year. So they're up in the air depending on interest, but we are going to offer those two classes next year. Ginger.
The community choir still going to be happening then as well?
Yep, we will do choir as well. Yes, ma'am.
That's a live show, hello.
Yeah.
How soon are you going to offer master's programs?
Probably working up. Unless someone is like, hey, I wanted to get a master's right now. But I don't think I have the bandwidth to set it this year. But if you're like, hey, I want a master's when you're ready. So if someone comes to me and like, hey, I want a master's soon, that would encourage me to get more on it. Bandwidth right now, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's one of the things that was really attractive is we have a lot of smart people in this room that have various degrees. And so to the degree that we can get more people to step up to be tutors, the more we can offer. You know, you mentioned Jeremiah Dahl. He needs people who can apply for their apprenticeship, electricians. Well, there's a program here where we could potentially run that. And keep him and the other electricians supplied with those people taking their apprentice tests. You know.
How did you guys come, or maybe it wasn't like an option with the Southeastern University, how did that?
So they gave us a list of all their partners and the degrees the partners offer. So like another one that's really easy to work with for high schools is CCU, you said the name of it, and Colorado Christian University. They're really good, but they only offer an AA. So like, okay, doesn't really work for our college. Gordon Conwell is another one, but they only offer master's degrees of theology. So each partner offers what they want to offer. SEU happens to really like this, so they offer as many degrees as everyone else put together, basically. And they're really flexible, and they seem to want to work with us, according to everyone else working with them. And that's why we're picking that one. And as I get more and more into their theology statements, I am encouraged by them. I was ready to not agree with much, and the more I dig into it, the more I agree with them, which is kind of nice. So we're not doing a whole uphill battle. Some of their theology classes, I'm like, I'm going to do everything I can not to have that one. There's a confessional one that's just like, I don't want to do this one at all. But most of their classes I'm actually excited for. And so just weeding through what's available.
Well, and also their liberal arts classical. Like, it's that sort of a school. It's that sort of a degree. So not all partnership schools are that main.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, that was the only liberal arts degree available. They just happen to have everything else, too.
Theology, divinity.
I believe SEU does. But the nice part about Christian Halls is if there's another school we want to go with, we can go with them for that degree. So if we want to just offer Master of Divinity through Gordon Conwell, we can do that. So we can actually... Sure. But Christian Halls does actually make it cheaper than going to them. All master's degrees are the graduate degrees are around $500 a credit. All undergrads are around $350, and all dual credit is right around $100. So they have negotiated some of that down. But yes, you do have to pay for all of them.
And they do have, I mean, among the programs, you can get a seminary degree, you know, among everything else. I didn't mention, but the Christian Halls, the way they've So you enroll in the university, you pay the university fee, but 25% of that tuition actually comes right back to the hall here. So that helps then pay for the tutors. And so.
Yes, ma'am.
So the Christian Halls
Foundation,
is that the plan that we had before of the three-year rotation? This one... I apologize if you already said that, but is it 4 years, like, to go through?
This would be a 4-year bachelor's, yeah. And as far as Comfort and ECS goes, I think we'd still honor the 3-year portion of things.
Yeah, we haven't. That's a good question. We the board's got to sit down, but I would assume those that had jumped into the 3-year plan will probably honor that agreement. And then, so, yeah.
Because it's our school, so we can kind of do what we want in that part. Yeah.
Would there be a chance that, say, one of our two classes that you're going to, keeping up the comfort, be offered to other halls? Would it be something that we could export out?
So the nearest hall in, there's only one other hall currently in Washington, and that's in Burlington. There is a potential of another one down in Issaquah that I think might be starting up this year as well. Most of them are down in Texas, New York. There isn't really a way to go out that way. If we became adjunct professors, SEU could then offer our course, and that would be the only way to really do it.
Yeah, we had asked in the fact-finding point that could we find other like-minded churches in our area and form this jumbo hall, but they said, well, it doesn't really fit their model, because remember, again, they're very interested in your faith community, doing its part, and so it doesn't work logistically for us to try to enculturate some other group of people from a church down the street. So, well, feel free, keep asking questions. I mean, we're committed, or we should be committed, but we're pretty excited about this opportunity, and again, that we're hoping for the day to come when we can be offering multiple programs. You know, we've got some business guys here in the church. Why not offer a business administration, project management? I mean, you name it. So you be thinking too about, you know, what you could do by way of a tutor. And if you're interested in that, you can talk to us more about it. But we'll start with this one bachelor's program, get that flying, and then see what we can do to build out from there. So anyhow, the hour's getting late, but thanks for your attention, and be praying that this thing turns out to be as awesome as it seems it to be.